morning, talking about an issue that we've been working on now for about 5 years at the Pew Center on the States. Back in 2006, the Pew Charitable Trust launched the Public Safety Performance Project, which is geared at helping states to get a better public safety return on their taxpayer investments, looking for fiscally sound, data-driven sentencing and corrections policies that improve public safety, hold offenders accountable, and contain correction spending. Along with the Bureau of Justice Assistance, which is a sister agency to NIJ at the Office of Justice Programs, we support both some of the work of the Council of State Governments as well as our own research briefs, policymaker convenings across multiple states, as well as direct technical assistance in several states. To the list that was previously mentioned, you can now add South Carolina, and we've got a few more states in the wings. So just two things I want to address sort of to kick this off. The first is looking at the national trends that we think explain increasing state interest in justice reinvestment processes. And the second is some evidence that states can have less crime and more accountability with fewer taxpayer dollars. And then after I go, I'll kick it over to John and Ann, who will tell you about what they actually are working on and accomplishing in the states, which is the meat of this work as opposed to just these sort of a quick national overview. So back in 2008, we released a report called One in 100 detailing that 1% of all adults in this country are now behind bars. It's unprecedented statistics in terms of national history. The United States is the world leader in this category. And while 1 in 100 is an important touchstone and, I guess, benchmark in some sense, it also hides extreme concentration by gender, youth, or age, race, education levels, and geography. So 1 in 100 is a powerful statistic, but it becomes much more powerful when you dive into some of those demographic subgroups. We'll be releasing a report, hopefully, in July, which does this, encourage you to take a look. We're also, on another note on this, we're releasing a national justice atlas, which will be an interactive online tool where you can look at the concentration of correctional populations by down to the census tract level for about 22 states. So there's 1 in 100 adults behind bars, but 1 in 31 adults are under correctional control in the country. So 1 in 100 behind bars, 1 in 45 under probation or parole supervision. You add those together, you get 1 in 31. And this is an important thing because people tend to focus on who's behind bars, but 2 out of 3 correctionally supervised individuals are in the community and not behind bars. And what this means for states, among other things, is a big drain on taxpayer dollars. So states spent about $10 billion on corrections 25 years ago. They now spend about $50 billion a year. Even in inflation-adjusted terms, this is a massive increase. And 1 out of every 15 state general fund dollars now goes to fund correctional spending. Obviously, you know, prisons dominate this spending. They're not the entirety of it, but prisons, due to their capital and labor-intensive nature, tend to really dominate states' correctional spending. So again, you know, if 2 out of 3 correctionally supervised offenders are in the community, what we're actually finding is that 9 out of 10 correctional dollars go to prisons. And there's obvious reasons for this, right? I mean, prisons do cost more than correctional supervision. But the question I think we're asking with some but not all justice reinvestment projects is, could we reallocate some of those dollars and improve community supervision practices in a way that gives us more public safety with fewer dollars? And finally, you know, sometimes we get a little immune to this hanging out in D.C. where we don't always have to balance budgets, but states do. And so when you spend a dollar in one place, you don't have it to spend somewhere else. So again, just looking at general fund spending in two primary categories, you see corrections consuming an ever larger share of state spending, which is leaving fewer dollars for other priorities of policymakers in those states. So again, the justice reinvestment idea is, can we reallocate those dollars? Now, we're not... Don't read too much in this slide. We're not saying go fund your state's university system. But there might be other areas where you can shift your money to get better returns. This is another reason that we see state chambers of commerce and local chambers becoming more and more interested in this work. That you know, business taxes are on their mind as they struggle in the recession. And they're saying, you know, are there areas where we can get better return on investment? These are sort of the words and the concepts that resonate well with business leaders. So this last couple slides I want to throw up here, get this idea of is there a win-win here? Or actually a win-win-win, where you get more public safety, more accountability at less cost. So the idea here is a lot of states experienced crime declines in the last, since the early 90s. But these states did vastly different things with their sentencing and correction system. So you see three states from very different parts of the country experiencing the exact same amount of crime decline over the this is the period 97 to 07, but I think this would probably hold today as well. But you know, Nevada decreased its prison population while Louisiana and Minnesota substantially expanded theirs. And there's a lot of reasons for this, and we could dive into this if it's an issue people want to follow up with. But I think at base, this is not a hard argument to make. That you know, unless you think that every correctional dollar is currently allocated to the most optimum program or policy, then there's always ways that we can reallocate dollars and get more public safety and more accountability. This next slide I want to prep a little because it's the messiest slide we ever use. It's sort of the faux pas of PowerPoint presentations. But imagine you took these three states and gave them each a coordinate. So you have a crime decline coordinate and a prison population or incarceration rate coordinate, and you map them on a little Cartesian grid. So the lower you are on this grid, that means you averted more crime. And the farther you are to the right on this next grid, that's the more you increased your prison population. So with a little trepidation, this is what you get when you map all 50 states over 10 years. First, there's massive variation, and there's a big blob. So the big blob, I think, indicates that there's not a whole lot, there's not a very robust relationship between these two things, your prison population and your crime rate. The other thing is I'd call your attention to the states on the left hand of that blue line. So those are states that got a crime decline that looks a lot like the national average, or in cases like New York and New Jersey, much better than the national average, but they didn't increase their prison population. So they either averted some expected prison construction, or they're actually able to reduce their prison population. But I don't think we can go so far as to say, they actually reduced their correctional spending. And there's a whole other discussion on that end. It's the two things I want to throw out here is that really this is about reallocating dollars to get a better return on investment. I'm reading this book right now called Moneyball. I don't know if anyone's read this. It's about the Oakland Athletics baseball team. And they had the lowest payroll in baseball for a long time and consistently outperformed teams that had a much larger payroll. So the question is, how are they allocating their dollars across scouts, you know, prospective players, and finding the ones that other teams were missing? You know, it's in a weird way, it's a perfect analogy for this. It's data-driven. It's taking a look at your bottom line, how much money you have, and then achieving your ends. And I think there's something very similar going on in some of the processes we're talking about here today. The other thing, just because he's here, Judge Alm from Hawaii is going to be presenting tomorrow. It's tomorrow, right? I encourage you to take a look at his project, Hawaii Hope, which basically holds probation violators accountable with swift and certain but mild sanctions. They did a randomized controlled trial supported by the National Institute of Justice that found that fewer folks are using drugs, being arrested, being revoked to prison, and occupy fewer bed days. So what you have there is less drug use, less crime, lower taxpayer expense, and lower need for punishment, which again gets at this issue. Can you have the win-win-win? I think you can, both in a program like HOPE, but also in a policy process like justice reinvestment. So just to close up here, back when states' budgets were flush, it was, I think, an okay thing to say, how can we be tougher on crime? How can we prove that we take this seriously and we're gonna really nail these criminal offenders? Not just because of the recession. I think there's other reasons for this, but the policy question is shifting. How do we get a better taxpayer return on our investment in public safety?